7, Stan Phillips.
Mansions of glory and suicide machines sprung from cages on highway nine, torn with human ticket and stepping out over the line. Good morning, Met fans. How you doing? Happy Two for Tuesday. Well, I said yesterday we'd be talking about Monday night's game here. Well, guess what? That's not happening. That game was postponed, so today really is a two for Tuesday. Monday's game will be made up as part of a single admission doubleheader today. The first game will begin at 3:10, and the second game is scheduled for 7:10. Now, the Mets look to get back on track after losing their first series of the season following an 8-7 loss to Seattle Mariners on Sunday afternoon. With Tyler McGill on the IL with biceps inflammation, Trevor Williams was scheduled to start Monday's game against Miles Mikolas. With the extra day rest, it's unclear how manager Buck Showalter will handle the starting duties for the beginning of the four-game series. So we'll see who gets the ball in game one. They haven't committed to who, but we shall see. Now, the other thing is, what's ever on everybody's mind is Jacob DeGrom. Now, Jacob DeGrom's MRI on his shoulder is scheduled for Monday now. They said that on May 10th that DeGrom had started throwing, with GM Billy Epler specifying that DeGrom was out to 60 feet at light intensity. If the news after DeGrom's follow-up MRI is good, the expectation is that he'll be able to ramp up further. The news that DeGrom was throwing followed positive MRI results on his right shoulder that were revealed on April 25th. And the Mets said on the 25th that DeGrom would receive a follow-up MRI in approximately 3 weeks. At the time, DeGrom's MRI and CT scan showed considerable healing of the stress reaction, which led him to being cleared to begin loading and strengthening of the shoulder, as the so-called health experts say. Now, DeGrom has been out since April 1st and was transferred to the 60-day IL on May 10th, the same day Epler said he had started throwing. The 60-day move had no bearing on DeGrom's timeline, since he was never returning before the second week of June anyway. On March 31st, with spring training nearing a close, DeGrom reported shoulder tightness. He was placed on the IL the next day after initial MRI revealed the injury. Deepak Chopra, a well-known orthopedic sports surgeon, said most scapular stress fractures that are caught early heal relatively reliably if the player strictly adheres to the rest and rehab protocol. Anytime there is an extended period of follow-off followed by a ramp-up, there is an accompanying risk of overdoing it and having a setback. However, as long as DeGrom progresses slowly, you should expect a full recovery of his prior pitching performance with respect to both velocity and control. Now, furthermore, once he's back, he wouldn't expect us to act up again mid-season. DeGrom at 33 is not exactly young for an MLB pitcher, but he has shown the ability to bounce back before, and there really is no reason to expect anything different. At the moment, the Mets' rotation consists of Max Scherzer, Chris Bassett, Carlos Carrasco, Taiwan Walker. Tyler McGill, who's on the IL biceps inflammation, could return as soon as his 15-day stint is up on May 27th. Now, like I said, we have a big doubleheader matchup against the Cardinals. It's always fun. Cardinals are the epitome of the National League. I always say the Cardinals, Giants, and Dodgers represent the National League past history as well as anybody. And it's always fun. Cardinals are always a competitive team. Year in, year out, they put a good product. Now, what are some of the things when the Mets are playing the Cardinals we can watch out for? Well, remember the bad blood from the last series? There was some brouhaha there over hit pitches and everything. Now, will the bad blood carry over? This week's series between the Mets and Cardinals is the first time they're facing each other since tempers flared in St. Louis. And the Cards hit a bunch of players with pitches, including one that hit Pete Alonso in the head. The final game of that series, reliever Yoan Lopez threw a pitch that was high inside and nowhere close to hitting Nolan Arenado. Now, Arenado took umbrage and incited a bench-clearing incident that included Cardinals first base coach Stubby Clapp tackling Alonso from behind, something Alonso was not pleased with. Now, Cardinal manager Oliver Marmol also gave some pretty tone-deaf answers following the scrimmage, excusing Clapp for his actions and admonishing Lopez while not taking any accountability for what his own pitchers did. Speaking after the incident, the Mets suggested that things would not carry over to this week's series at Citi Field. Will that hold true? I guess we're going to find out starting tonight. Hopefully what does hold true is Brandon Nimmo remains on fire. Along with Jeff McNeil, Nimmo is the only Met who has not had any kind of slump at the plate this season. And Nimmo has been especially hot lately. He has an 11-game hitting streak, has 9 hits in his last 19 at-bats, and has raised his triple slash line from .253, .364, .440 on May 3rd to .304, .414, .473 entering play on Monday. In addition to his hitting streak, Nimmo has a 27-game on-base streak dating back to April 11th. Now, who will start the series opener for the Mets? With Tyler McGill, who was supposed to start Monday on the IL with biceps inflammation, the Mets need a spot starter for one of Tuesday's games. It looks like it's going to be Trevor Williams. David Peterson would have been a perfect fit, but he started Friday for AAA Syracuse. Thomas Zabuki would have been another option, but he started for Syracuse on Sunday. So the Mets will have to look somewhere else. The Mets' plan before Monday's rainout was to use Trevor Williams, who would likely have been asked to handle the first few innings and perhaps more, depending on the flow of the game and how he looked. Now, who's going for the Cardinals today? Miles Michaelis, and he has been lights out. He walked down the Mets on April 25th in St. Louis, blanking them for 7 innings while allowing 4 hits, walking 1, and striking out 5. In his 3 starts since, he's allowed 4 runs total in 20 innings. Overall this season, he has a 1.49 ERA, a 2.96 FIP, and a 0.96 WHIP with 31 strikeouts and 42 and a third innings over 7 starts. Like I said, he'll be getting the ball today. And the other matchups are expected to be Taijuan Walker against our good buddy Steven Matz. Max Scherzer gets the ball against Jordan Hicks, a very hard-throwing pitcher, on Wednesday. And Chris Bassett will go against Dakota Hudson on Thursday. Now, the Met bullpen, even after the loss of Trevor May, has been following a hiccup to start the season. But with the exception of Edwin Diaz, most of New York Mets relievers have struggled a bit lately. Drew Smith has been scored upon in his last 2 appearances after not allowing a run in his first 12 outings. Seth Lugo allowed 2 runs his last time out. Chasen Shreve has slendered home runs in each of his last 2 appearances. And Joey Rodriguez gave up a run on 2 hits in his last appearance. With McGill out and the bullpen possibly being relied upon to eat a lot of innings on Tuesday, which could obviously carry over and impact the rest of the series, the pen will have to start to step it up. So keep an eye on the bullpen today and see what they do, not only in the doubleheader, but going forward the rest of the week. They're going to be a key part of how the Mets prevail in the coming days. That is for sure. Now our good friend Michael Conforto is making headlines again, and it looks like he may be open to signing after the 22 MLB draft, his agent Scott Boras said. Multiple teams are expressing interest in Conforto, Boras adds. Now, former Mets outfielder Michael Conforto will not sign before then, Boras said of July 17th, 19th. When the draft ends, so does the pick compensation linked to Conforto because of the Mets' qualifying offer. Multiple franchises have checked in with Boras about signing Conforto after the draft. Now, he underwent season-ending surgery in April, but Boras has said he's clearly going to have the ability to examine the situation of signing before the offseason. It's kind of a unique thing because Michael Conforto is a free agent months before anyone else, and he will be out there and clubs can calibrate on Michael Conforto before any other free agents. Now, SNY's Andy Martino reported March 17th that the Mets offered Conforto an extension in the $100 million range last spring and would have gone as high as $120 million at that point. However, Martino added that the Mets were not offering him anything like that now, and probably not anything. Now, Conforto, 29, was an all-star member of the Mets in 2017 in the 2014 MLB Draft's number 10 overall pick. In 757 regular season games from 2015 to 21, Conforto slashed .255, .356, .468 with 132 home runs and 396 runs batted in. The 2021 season was a down year for Conforto, who slashed .232, .344, .384 with 14 homers and 55 RBIs in 125 games. So we may be seeing Michael Conforto sooner than we expected. He may even be around sometime this year after the All-Star break. And I wish Michael well. He was a fun ball player, really was, and I enjoyed watching him play with the Mets. Now, here's an interesting clip. I guess we've all had this discussion one time or another. Who is New York baseball's biggest villain? All the answers here are pretty much ones on the top of my mind. Two for the Yankees, two for the Mets. And here's the SNY staff on Baseball Tonight, New York Baseball Tonight, John Harper, Kim Jones, Hannah Kaiser, and Sal Licata talking about all-time baseball enemies in New York. Enjoy.
Somebody maybe throw up an in at Winker. You can't be walking around the base paths
he's
like
some
that.
Phone, it's Wait,
no,
he's
no, no. Yeah, it's fun. He's
I
killing the Mets.
That.
Oh, no.
It's
no. All right, so it brings up the question here, time for the walk-off, with who is the best New York baseball in Harp?
Well, it's got to be Pedro Martinez for me. I mean, the guy, he drilled more Yankees than any pitcher in history, I think. Sent a couple to the hospital the same day, I think it was Jeter and Soriano, right? Mm. And he loved it. You know, he embraced the role of being the villain until, of course, he had some problems when the Yankee fans started, what is it, Who's Your Daddy? Or
Who's Your Daddy? Yeah, yes. Right.
But to me, he's the all-time villain just because he loved the role of being that guy. And he didn't mind admitting that he threw a guy, so... He loved it.
I'm going with Red Sox, too. The 3-4 combo, however you like it. Manny Ramirez, 59 career home runs against the Yankees. David Ortiz, 58, so just one fewer. And Yankee fans absolutely despise seeing them in every lineup.
Chipper Jones, you talk about embracing the role of the villain. Chipper Jones lived his life as the Mets villain. He took that so personal. He named his son Shay,
yeah,
right?
That's
he got the last laugh. He was like, forever I want to be known as the Mets villain.
Those are all very good
Larry.
Ones. Hard to argue. Larry. Yeah, Larry, exactly.
Larry.
The common ground there, those are all great players. The guy to me that would be a villain, John Rocker. I hated that guy. And there were other issues where he ripped New Yorkers and
Subway.
Set some marble in. Plus, on the field, he was nasty and a villain as well. So I would look at John Harper. I would look at John Harper, right, New York villain right here. Now, I would look at John Rocker as one of the worst villains that New York has seen. All right.
And there you have it. Do you agree? Do you disagree? That whole topic was brought up upon the show and when they were talking about Jesse Winker and how Met fans have embraced him as an enemy. So what do you think about all that? Good stuff, huh? Now, one thing we have seen lately is Taijuan Walker really pitching well again. And rumor has it, Max Scherzer has been helping out, and he's got some command of his splitter, and that's really helped Taijuan Walker evolve. As Jeremy Hefner sees it, there are a trio of reasons that explain the difference in Taijuan Walker from last season to this season. Better health, fewer fastballs, and more Max Scherzer. Walker, who's been solid since right shoulder bursitis sidelined him for about 3 weeks in April, is beginning to put together another strong first half in a small sample thus far. Last season, he was dominant for the first few months that brought him to his first All-Star game, then fell apart after the break as his innings climbed and health fell. He needed right knee surgery this offseason. In his first four starts and 18 innings this season, he's doing it again, sporting a 3.00 ERA, but the Mets' ideal number 5 starter is succeeding in a different fashion in last year's first half. Hefner, the Mets pitching coach, first pointed to Walker's health, which he believes was the righty's downfall last season. He next attributed Walker's strong results to an arsenal that has been tweaked. Now, last season, according to Fangraphs, Walker threw a fastball 57.4% of the time. The usage is down 41.8%, with so many of the extra pitches going to a splitter that has become a big part of Walker's game. Now, it is something that they talked about last year, not being so fastball-heavy with Walker, but he really didn't have a pitch to go with it like the splitter. And he didn't have a good command of his splitter when he did throw it last year. He worked on all that during the offseason. That's something that was a focus for him during spring training and into his first few starts this year. Now, Walker will start one of the games in Tuesday's doubleheader. He has been hit hard with his four-seamer, against which batters are hitting 364. But against the 29-year-old splitter, opponents are 4-for-28, 143, a pitch that he barely used last season, becoming his most devastating this campaign. Now Walker has five distinct pitches that batters have to watch for, rather than leaning so much on his heat. And Jeremy Hefner even said, I think that he's pitching. Max has a little bit to do with that. Hefner is one pitching coach, and Scheffner, who is a year older than Hefner, believe it or not, is another. It's easier for the coaching staff to get buy-in from a pitcher who might be hesitant when a future Hall of Famer is adding his opinions to the staff side. Scherzer has helped the rotation even on days he does not pitch. Scherzer has lent his voice to some of the messaging that we tried to talk to Walker about last year. Walker is taking some of the things that he's getting fed through different parties and taking it and throwing well. Walker is enjoying improved health and improved splitter and improved voices all around him. That's adding up to a new improved Taiwan Walker this year. He is very intellectual and he studies the game. He watches the game. He understands the mechanics. He understands pitch design, how to use pitches, how to sequence pitches. And that's why he, with his talent, he puts it all together with everything I just mentioned. He will be a very good pitcher this year. So keep an eye on Taiwan Walker. Now it's time to talk about this podcast and the greatest Met Facebook group there is, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life. If you're listening to this podcast and want to hear one every day, we do one every day. Just subscribe and you'll be alerted as to when one is ready. We're available on all platforms, so please do subscribe. We'd be glad to have you on board. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's New York Mets Baseball Way of Life. And we're on Facebook. Good stuff, good people, great content every day. Check us out. And if you ever want to reach out to me for whatever reason, with a comment, suggestion, complaint, a compliment, I'm at philstan41@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you, and I respond to everybody. Now, as we do every day, we celebrate Met birthdays, but today we only have one on tap, and that is Dick Smith, who was born this date in 1939. Dick played outfield and first base for the Mets, and it's his birthday today, so happy birthday, Dick Smith. Now, on this date in the transaction wire, we have a few things going on. 1965, the Mets released Yogi Berra. I guess it was over for Yogi. He always says it ain't over till it's over, but his Met career was over, playing career was over on this date in 1965. And on this date in 2004, the Mets released Raul Gonzalez. And on this date in 2010, the Mets released Frank Catalanato. And on this date in 2014, Houston Astros signed Kyle Farnsworth of the Mets as a free agent. Those are your transactions for this day in Met history. Now, what's going on in the baseball group? Well, we got a quote from Richie Ashburn. I think you might get a chuckle out of this one. Hall of Famer Richie Ashburn was an original Met and the first batter and All-Star in Met franchise history. He famously said he would rather commit suicide than be a bench player for the Mets, so he retired. Smart guy. Then we have a classic baseball card of Jim McAndrew, and we ask you, do you remember Jim McAndrew? He had a lively arm, was part of the good arms that were up with the Mets in the late 60s. And we have we list the all-time career pinch hit leaders for the Mets. Number one, Ed Cranepool with 90, Rusty Staub with 77, and Matt Franco with 58. Got a picture of Keith Hernandez doing the old crossword puzzle by his locker stall. And two Sports Illustrated covers that are classics. The Mets Against the World, the caps of all the baseball teams in MLB in 1970. In this date, in April sometime, I should say, was the cover. And Jerry Koosman is centered in the picture, profile picture of Koosman. Then we got a picture of Ron Darling gracing the cover of Sports Illustrated. And there was an article about the pitching depth of the Mets and in the... Ronnie's in a pitching motion, and it says, Armed Force, Ron Darling of the Pitching Rich Mets. Good stuff. And now we're going to go to our Jeopardy and Trivia questions of the day. Who's ready for that? Yes, the trivia question is, for today, the last time the Mets hit back-to-back homers was versus the Phillies just last year on August 7, 2021. Can you name the three Mets who hit the home runs? And today's Jeopardy. As always, there's two clues. The first clue was signed with the New York Mets as a free agent on February 20th, 2003. The second clue is war number 00 as a Met. Do you know who these players are? We'll be back to tell you in a couple seconds if you've been right or not. But some of the other stuff we've been mentioning in the group was Tyler McGill. Yes, Tyler McGill on the 15-day IL with biceps inflammation. And how about Mets submarine prospect Josh Hetchka? He threw two more scoreless innings the other day in AA. He now has 12 and 2/3 scoreless innings this season with 15 strikeouts. Will he be another Met on the horizon? We sure hope so. And then we had some commentary on the post I did on Dallas Strawberry. Thornton Scott said, so sad he could have done so much more. He will be passed by Alonzo soon as far as all-time home run Met leader. He had 252 during his career, Thornton said, then only 83 for the rest of 17 years. Michael Rabin says, such a sweet swing, so smooth, which is also the best way to describe how he played the outfield. Could have been one of the all-time greats. By all accounts, though, he's really gotten his life together, which is simply stellar. And that is correct. He's committed his life to glorifying God, and he's doing a great job, and is constantly on the road. And we salute Dallas Strawberry for all the work he is doing. So those are some of the other things we're talking about in the group. And like I said, we always give you the answers to the trivia and Jeopardy question towards the end of the podcast. And here we go with that. Once again, the trivia question was, the last time the Mets hit back-to-back homers was versus the Phillies on August 7, 2021. Can you name the three Mets who hit the homers? Well, the correct answers are Michael Conforto, Jonathan Villar, and James McCann. Congrats to our good buddy Kareem Haywood on being the first to submit the correct answers. And the two Jeopardy clues were, after signing with the Yankees as a six-year minor league... Oh, that's tomorrow's clue. We got to go to today's. Yes, we don't want to reveal everything in one day. Here's the clues. Signed with the New York Mets as a free agent on February 20th, 2003. War 00 as a Met. The correct response is, who is Tony Clark? Congrats to John Tierney on being the first to submit the correct response on that. Now let's talk about our birthday boy, Dick Smith. Dick Smith was an outfielder and first baseman who appeared in 76 games, and he also was a pinch hitter in Major League for the New York Mets and Los Angeles Dodgers. Excuse me, over parts of three seasons spanning 63 to 65. He was born in Lebanon, Oregon, and threw and batted right-handed, stood 6'2" and weighed 205 pounds. So he was a big boy for back then, and he attended Oregon State University. He began his pro career in the Dodger farm system in 57. After six minor league seasons, his contract was purchased by the Mets on October 11, 1962. In 63, he was recalled from AAA Buffalo in July and batted .238 with 10 hits through the end of the season. His most extended service in the majors came in 64 when he appeared in 46 early season games for the Mets. He collected another 21 hits as a Met, batting .223 before returning to Buffalo. After that season, on October 15th, the Mets traded him back to the Dodgers in exchange for pitcher Larry Miller. He made the eventual 1965 World Champion Dodgers out of training camp and went hitless in six early season at-bats before being sent back to AAA when rosters were cut from 28 to 25 men. It proved to be his last trial in the major leagues. He retired in 68 after 12 years in professional baseball. Now, Smith batted .218 during his MLB career. His 31 hits included six doubles and two triples. He was credited with seven runs batted in, and he hit 120 home runs as a minor leaguer. So there you have it. There's our birthday boy, Dick Smith. And we're going to wrap up our podcast on that note and remind you once again, we'll be back tomorrow to talk about all things going on in today's doubleheader. Should be an action-packed day in Met baseball. And we'll be here to talk all about it tomorrow. So check it out. And I think at 11 o'clock, Binghamton's the MILB free game on MLB.tv. So if you want to see Wilson Alvarez and company, check that out. I think that is on 11 o'clock on MLB.tv. As of now, MLB has not released who the pitchers are for either the Mets or the Cardinals, but looks like it's Walker and Trevor Williams going, and Mikolas probably going for the Cardinals in one of those games. So it'll be fun. Good baseball. Like I said, if you want to watch the Mets minor leaguers at 11, you got yourself a Metropolitan tripleheader today. Enjoy the day. Weather's a lot better today. It looked a little scary at times last night. So enjoy the day. Let's go Mets. And again, thank you for your patronage. It means a lot to me. And thanks for listening. And we'll be back again tomorrow. Let's go Mets.
And now for your nice ladies and gentlemen out there who don't understand the Italian language, I'd like to do two choruses in British. Lazy Mary, you better get up. She answered back, I am not evil. Lazy Mary, you better get up. We need the sheets for the table. Attention to me. You better marry a fireman. He'll come and go, go and come. Zembala boom bamana dena. Zichingapala bandazia de bombaria vichutsalia. La la la, vishavita pakala. Wave la la, bobina jajakata. Gamme voglio mare da, ciomba la vagliotta, gamme voglio mare da.